This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Trajan Langdon, Piston President, Basketball Ops. He spoke yesterday. He's very measured. Reasonable.
He just seems so smart. I mean, there's a lot of
look. There's
that's perception, but
there's a couple words in there that may trigger some people. Sustained success and patience. Oh, it's going to be a boring offseason for the Pistons. They're not going to strike while the iron's hot. Look how wide open the East is. I didn't get that impression.
No, because he said expectations changed.
He acknowledged that expectations changed. He did say if they were going to add like an all-star caliber player, it would be via a trade, and he stressed just as a hypothetical. But I think he has a pretty good grasp of what he's doing. And I think this offseason couldn't be more important for the Pistons. Supporting Cade Cunningham. If you believe that's Ivy and a full year of Asar and Durin developing a jumper, there's a case to keep your own. I'm not going to fly off the handle and trade for Zion. I think that would be reckless and stupid. The guy never plays basketball.
Yeah.
But there are names out there that will be bantied about. And I think it's fair to discuss. Stoney, you had some names before we get back to the calls?
Yes. Gershon Yabusele from France. Remember him in the Olympics? He was great for France playing with Wembanyama. Free agent, played this year in Philly. I mean, he started his career in Boston, didn't do much, and went back to Europe. So came over to Philly, 14 points a game, 5.6 rebounds, shoots 38% from three. He's 29 years old, free agent. And mm-hmm. He's not going to be an expensive player. Okay? Here's another one. John Collins.
Okay, bounce around. He's a dunker.
Utah Jazz shot 40% from three.
Yeah.
Okay, averaged 19, 8, and 2.
Very gettable.
Okay, he's on the last year of his contract. It's $26.5 million a year.
This is not a guy you'd be giving up multiple key young people
he's
for.
He's 27 years old. And then, of course, everybody wants Sabonis. So
yeah.
Sabonis, 29 years old, 19 points. 14 rebounds, 6 assists, shot over 41% from three.
He doesn't do it at volume, but he can. You have to respect his three-point shot.
The problem is he's got 3 years left starting next year at 43, 46, and 49 a year. It's a lot of...
But that's a going rate for an all-star big who can shoot.
I know.
I wouldn't bristle at that.
No, look, and if you got into a situation where they were worried about a luxury tax... Say what you want. I think this owner will write that check.
I absolutely agree with you. Let's get to John in St. Clair Shores. John, what's up?
Who has another name that I was going to mention, but that's why I didn't.
I'm sorry. Let me get you off of... Hey, how's it going?
Good.
John, you got a name. We held off. Stoney wanted you to make this pitch.
Yeah, I wanted to say Naz Reid of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I believe he has a player option this year.
Yeah,
he's... I believe he's in his mid-20s, and he has been behind Rudy Gobert and Anthony Towns the year before. And then this year, he was behind Julius Randle and Gobert.
Yeah, see,
so when he gets his minutes, he can hit the three.
Yep.
And I know that's what Stoney wants.
Yeah, and look, he shoots 38% from the three this year, 14 points a game. He comes off the bench. He's 6'9". He's that type of, that's exactly, you're right. That's what I want. A big guy who can space the floor and shoot from the outside.
And could defend a little bit. Yeah, yes. Yeah. That's, it's like out of a lab for what this team's missing. This has come up a lot on the ticket text. That's a sharp phone call to point him out. With the player option, the argument is he'd opt out to get a big payday.
Right.
Yes, and then that's how you get him. Ticket texter says, Durant ain't going anywhere. Keep dreaming.
Okay, give me the rationale of not even thinking about trading Jalen Durant. I don't see you have to.
No.
But in today's NBA, don't you need a big guy who can shoot from outside 5 feet?
Yes.
There's no world where you can pay him and Thompson. Is there?
Forget pay. How about play? You want to win an NBA championship, not have a feisty first-round series. You want to win late game. You can't have two non-shooters. I don't care how good they are defensively. And between the two, Thompson, I think, is the one you'd pick. So you
right.
need
plus
to try
you don't have to pay him for longer.
Yeah, he's cheaper longer. But I don't. We're going to run into this. You have to give to get.
Yeah.
Sonny, you've done this way longer than I have. It drives me up a wall. We have good players here. Do you want great players? You have to give up good players. Pick one or two that you aren't married to. I'm not moving Cade, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick Ausar because of the defense and the perimeter and all that stuff. That means I have to give somebody.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe the answer is give up nobody and you have the greatest team assembled and just wait and see.
Okay, if they bring back, you know, Durant or don't use him in a trade, I get it. He's a good player.
Stoney.
But your point is correct. You have when you have people who are good and you want to be great, what you can't just
sacrifice.
Get every free agent.
How about the Knicks? You know who helped close out the game last night with 14 fourth quarter points and a key stop? Mikal Bridges?
Yes. He did nothing for three quarters, but he came through.
Did they draft and develop him? They gave up 5 first round picks. Now, you could say that's too much, but yeah. The Knicks have been aggressive. They added Bridges. They added Towns. They're up 2-0 going home now against the Boston Celtics. What offseason do you want to have?
I know.
Do you want to have an offseason that pushes in the East that's wide open? Or do you want an offseason where you say, I hope everybody's healthy and they get better in the daycare, everybody all grows up and we win?
Look, you have to be able to make tough decisions and trade good players to get better in your mind. And whether or not that player is popular. I know I'm going to go back in time here, but Gov, you were there with us. When Jerry Stackhouse got traded for Rip Hamilton, a lot of people were pissed. People love Jerry Stackhouse. But you know what? They wouldn't have won a championship without Rip Hamilton.
You're right.
Because plan was probably go to Chauncey the next year. We didn't know that at the time. You know, and Stack ended up having some solid years after he left here.
Yes.
He went to the finals with the Mavericks.
Good player.
Look, people have to realize you can't pay two people that can't score in the NBA. So one of these guys is going somewhere or he's walking in free agency. There's no world where you pay both of them.
Unless you actually think that in the offseason, Ausar Thompson is going to develop an outside shot.
Well, why didn't Ivy last year? See, that's why, Durant.
Yes.
Right.
Why didn't Durant last year?
I don't know. It's probably not his skill set.
Well, tickets
are fine. Right, exactly. That's our point.
But so this one says, why can't he develop a shot? Good free throw shooter, that's predictive of good shooting in the NBA.
Okay.
But he has to.
Yes.
You got to realize, fine, maybe he does. We're living in the real world right now where this most likely isn't going to happen.
Correct. And you have to plan for it. Phone calls. Steve in New Baltimore. Good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. Cookies, fire up, chips, as
fire up.
Usual. A name that I am interested in for the Pistons, the situation to at least monitor in Memphis, Jaren Jackson Jr., last year of his deal, do we think Memphis is going to add another $200 million contracts with Morant and Bane, former defensive player of the year, big man that can shoot.
He'd be a dream.
I don't know what
block
it would
shots.
Cost. Yeah, right. Given the contract, I don't know what it would cost, but man, he'd be a perfect Piston.
Well, I'd give him three players besides Cade, and they can pick their three players and at least two number ones.
Yeah, I'd say a combination five. Add up to five picks and young players. You
yes.
want three firsts and two young players, but I'd do that.
Yes.
Even with no,
there's an extension coming. There's an extension coming.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it without an extension.
You're right.
Okay. Yeah. Right. That makes more sense.
But he is a perfect complement, right?
Yeah.
He's athletic. He can defend the rim, move his feet, defend in space. A big who can shoot, finish. And Tom Izzo's not coaching, so he won't get benched for Ben Carter. Let's get to Bobby. Good morning. That's an old bit.
Hey, good morning,
Bobby. What's up?
No on Zion, and hell no on Darren. Stop that, man. We already a smallish team. So you saying Stewart is going to hold the fort? And this thing about him not being able to shoot, what about Turner for Indiana? He was a bum, pretty much. They were going to get rid of him. Okay, so now he can shoot. We're talking about a 20-year-old you want to get rid of that can give you 15.
See, why is that the narrative, Bobby? We're not. Hold on. Why is that the narrative? We're not packing his bags. We're saying if you're getting a better player.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
We do have Mobley at Cleveland, right? We also have an Indiana team that's very big. So you're saying that we're going to be able to compete without Darren. We already down to one center.
Let me ask.
Leave the center position alone.
Bobby.
You guys are
Bobby.
Go ahead.
We're talking about putting him in a deal. Who would you rather have, Jalen Duren or Sabonis?
Oh, okay. But you don't just get rid of
him. No. Nobody's saying just toss him. He'd be part of a deal to get
Bobby,
a great
that's
player.
All
that's all we're saying.
I'm not trying to fight with you about it. Yeah, it's a misunderstanding. It happens. Miles Turner was shooting threes by his second year in the league. Mobley shoots threes. If you're going to be a big in this league, you got to shoot. You got to shoot from deep. At least a mid-range jumper for Durant. Right. If you don't have it, you're expendable. That doesn't mean we're getting your bags and packing them and driving you to the airport and getting you through whether you have a real ID or not. We're not going through that with him. I'm just saying you have to give to get. If we're looking to get much better and really go for the Eastern Conference, he's a piece I would be willing to trade.
Yes. Nobody's saying, pack your bags, get out of here.
No. People have a hard time with this, though. We fall in love with our guys.
Oh, I know.
And this team was really likable.
This happens in a lot of cities, too. It's not just us.
I don't mean to say it's unique to Detroit.
No, I know.
But we live here and we see it. And we deal with it with what we do maybe more than most people. 248-539-9797. Basking in Pistons basketball, renewed optimism, expectations, excitement, and an offseason where they can make some noise, John. I want to talk about grocery shopping. What do they need to do this offseason to take the next step as an organization? You sat on it over the weekend. Season's over. They got eliminated in the first round. How aggressive should they be? There will be people who say, we got McDonald's at home. We got Jaden Ivey. He's going to get healthy, run it back with this young, developing team. There's also a host of names who may be available. And to me, the answer is, well, it depends who they are. Like, I don't want Zion, right? But there's a list of names that would be appealing. So how do you attack this? And we throw that out to you guys as well. 248-539-9797. How do you prioritize this? A Booker, a Giannis, a Durant, a Markkanen? John, what stands out?
Well, the one that stands out is Booker. And he stands out a little bit more because, one, his age. I think there is a desire on his part to be here because that you always wonder, does Giannis want to go from Milwaukee to Detroit? Now, obviously, he's won a championship in Milwaukee. He's stayed there. He's re-signed there. So I don't necessarily know that the quote-unquote destination matters that much, but is he at the point in his career where he wants to go to Miami? Mm. Or he just wants to go to a bigger market. That could possibly be. But he's got, as I looked at it, 3 years left on his contract, but the first two are guaranteed. The third is player option. So if you're gonna have to give up a lot for him. I don't know that I want to give up a lot and know that he's only going to be here 2 years.
Well, I think you'd be banking on the idea that he'd come here, he'd win, he'd enjoy the city and Cade and progress, and you'd keep him.
You would hope. Yes, that would be the goal.
What's Booker's deal? How many years?
Booker's got 3 years left. He just signed that Supermax. So he's got, he was first year into his 4-year deal, but they're all club control. So he's younger. I think he pairs really well with Cade, and I don't care which one you want to call Batman, which one you're going to call Robin. To me, that would be the dumbest argument ever. I don't care who it is because they could alternate games as Batman and Robin, but they would be a very good pairing to put out there. The question is, how much are you going to have to give up for each? And I know Durant is one that people frequently bring up. He's only got 1 year left on his deal. It would have to be a trade. And again, I don't know how much I want to give up for Kevin Durant. I don't think he is the piece that says, oh, okay, this gets us to Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I know Rieger was talking about Durant over the weekend, and listening to it more, he's near the bottom of the list for me. His skill set makes a lot of sense, right? Long, athletic, shooter, front court, spacing, winner, finals MVP. But he will be 37. This is not a move that gives you a couple cracks at it. It's really kind of a 1 to 2 year window, maybe. I think if you're giving up multiple firsts, I'd prioritize Booker first because of the shooting. Mm-hmm. Giannis second because of the talent, and he doesn't need the ball and can play off of Cade. They could be a hell of a 1-2 punch dish in the rock. And my third name is probably a pretty steep drop off here. Lauri Markkanen. I know Jalen Rose brought him up on TNT when the Pistons mm-hmm. season end. That's that stretch four with a runway in front of him, right? I mean, that guy could be here for 5-6 years and be part of this thing. So that would be my big three, would be Booker, Giannis, and then a drop off for Lauri Markkanen. I don't want Zion. To me, Durant doesn't fit the timeline. That's how I would address this.
And so we're talking about guys to go and get, mm-hmm. trade for. The free agent market.
Oh, it's nothing.
It's not really, because there's a lot of guys with player options who may be free agents. I mean, I think there's some that will probably enter free agency because it's such a bad year. They may be able to capitalize as the best player in a bad year. So your free agents who have, you know, number one player option, James Harden. You want him here?
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, okay. Absolutely not. You see what he did in Game 7?
Yes.
Small game, James?
LeBron. Now, most people think he'll be back in L.A., but he does have a player option. He could be a free agent. I'm just throwing out guys. Julius Randle, Kyrie Irving, Miles Turner from Indiana. It would be kind of interesting. I don't know that that's the route you want to go, but he is a player that I think would be a good add. And then you start to get into some restriction guys, some team talent. So it's my point is, it's not a great free agent market. We do have one guy that's going to hit the free agent market, and that is Malik Beasley. Mm-hmm. I would like to see him back, even though he came up small in the playoffs. He is a six man. He's coming off the bench. If you can have him as a compliment, it's a very good compliment to whoever you have starting. I think he still has a few good years of shooting. We saw him, you know, shooting this year. It was great. Something we hadn't seen here ever, really, because of how many three-pointers he had, but just his shooting percentage, very good throughout the majority of the season. So I'd like to see him back, but only in a reserve role.
They have three real free agents to consider: Beasley, Hardaway, and Schroeder. And I think of that group, the one you most want back is Beasley. He's the youngest. He's the best shooter. He makes the most sense.
So ranking them, Beasley, Schroeder, Hardaway
last.
Yeah. And I think Schroeder was it, I said it at the time, and I've said it throughout the rest of the season, since the trade deadline, a sneaky good ad. Mm-hmm. I think he really takes a little bit of pressure at times off of Cade, and whether it's bringing the ball up, he's a much better defender. He's a guy that I think has some good energy on this team and can be productive.
when you hear all these names and different scenarios and conversations that the Pistons could enter this summer, what stands out to you? How do you want them to attack the summer? How do they take the next step? 248-539-9797. We'll collect those phone calls and ticket texts. We've got the World Food Cuisine Draft coming up at 7:02 with Cinco de Mayo. But on the groceries list, I would put Devin Booker. That's the cowboy ribeye, John, to speak your language.
Yeah, tomahawk.
That is the guy, because there's no questions about fit. He's in the age range. He's from here. You wouldn't have to twist his arm to get him to play here. Phoenix is a sinking ship, right? If Durant gets dealt, and I think the belief is around the league he will, if he gets dealt to a Houston, because they want to bump up a notch after being eliminated, if he goes back to OKC to help them close out a title, I don't know. Victor Wembanyama needs some help. If Durant moves, if Phoenix is blowing this thing up, and Devin Booker wants to come home, I think the Pistons, that's the other thing. They finally have their own first round picks to trade now.
Yeah.
They can finally, it timed up perfectly, you guys. They made the playoffs. They showed a little bit of fight. They provided a foundation, and now they can give up a few firsts and a couple young guys and swing a deal and get the right player. I would stress get the right player, because you can screw this up. Atlanta went out and tried to help Trae Young and got DeJounte Murray, and things collapsed, and they never made it out of the first round again, and then they traded Murray. But I look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, who traded for Donovan Mitchell, and that elevated them to another level. Remains to be seen how the year plays out, but making a move like that makes a lot of sense for the Pistons.
It does, and I'm always cautious, and I know we throw it in there. And as one of the pros, he's from here. I'm cautious of that only because of what we've experienced on the hockey side of things. Like, we're not, and football, honestly,
yeah,
because of Aiden. Like, his value, and I think most NBA fans, most Pistons fans would see way past that. That's a nice factor, because you do have to have guys that want to be motivated to be here. That's why I asked a question about Giannis. Does he really want to be in Detroit past 2 years? Because that third year is a player option. I just think you have to at least ask the question. And for Booker, I mean, anytime they're in town, he goes to other sporting events here. When they're not in town, in the off season, he comes to sporting events here. And he's even mentioned it throughout the course of his career, how much he was a fan of the Pistons growing up.
And it's hard not to be. You're his age, right? You had the going to work Pistons at that point in your life when you're falling in love with basketball. He'll wear Tigers gear. He'll wear Lions gear. He'll wear Red Wings gear. He's from the state of Michigan. His team's going nowhere. The Pistons are on the ascent. Bring Devin Booker here. If it doesn't work, Giannis, Greek freak to Greek town. He's played in the smaller market. I think despite the fact that he doesn't shoot, you'd have to overcome a little bit of that. Like, I don't think you could play him in Durin. Durin's probably in that deal. Can you play him with Asar? I don't know. Maybe Asar's in that deal. You start to get to a pain point with people who don't want to give up too many of these young guys, because there is a pushback on the ticket text that says, stay the course. Don't bring in anyone that can make him a legitimate championship contender next season. Anyway, we're young. Let this group grow together, a la Celtics, a la Nuggets, teams that just kind of kept their young nucleus together.
I think there certainly is argument for that. I just don't know. Okay, if you need multiple stars, Cade, check that box. He's a star. Will he be a superstar?
Maybe. Okay, I think he's well on his way, yeah.
Okay, but you'll need other stars. Is Jaden Ivey a star in this league? Is Jalen Duren a star in this league?
I don't think so. Asar Thompson, he can be a key cog, but a star, if he can't shoot, I think there's a limitation there. These are really good players. If you can trade two or three really good players to get a superstar to elevate yourself to one of the best teams in the East and one of the best contenders in the league, you do it. But it's got to be the right player, because what you don't want to do is, hey, we traded for Zion because he was available and that got us one round further, and now we've stalled out with no firsts. Yep. And first of all, he's not even healthy half the time. It's got to be the right player. So the number's there, 248-539-9797. Pistons fans, what do they do this offseason to take the next step? It's 97.1.
Gabagoo. All right, so listen. I have, before we get into our next thing, this Jameis Winston thing now is going to live forever. I have arguably the most incredible stat I have laid eyes on thus far in the year of 2025. Can I present you guys with something?
Yeah.
If you're driving around, you don't even have to be a fan of this sport to appreciate the stat. So, from ESPN Research, since 1997, teams in the NBA are 3-1640. 3 wins, 1640 losses. When trailing by 7 or more in the final minute of fourth quarter or OT. The Pacers are 2-0 in this postseason.
Yeah.
What kind of rabbit's foot do you have in your locker? 3-1640, but the Indiana Pacers, not only do they have two of those wins, they're both in the playoffs, and it's in the same series. In back-to-back games.
On the road.
Gabagool.
Yeah. This is one where maybe they're just too young and stupid to realize what they just pulled off.
That was the only thing that made me feel better about the Celtics gag in the first game was seeing what Cleveland pulled off last night.
But in all fairness, Cleveland's not a complete team right now. No. But, yeah, how you can't close out either one of those games. I thought, okay, Indiana, you took one. You took both. And now you're going home.
Ugh. Just wanted to pass it on.
Do you know who the third team was?
No.
OKC, when they beat CP3's Clippers.
Oh, Lob City?
Yes.
Jesus. There you go. So, also, Kenny, Mammoth, best logo in the league. Zero BS.
You know, a lot of hockey fans are hating on that logo, and I love it. I dig it.
You know why? Hockey fans are nerds.
That's true.
That logo for something created in 2025, mm-hmm. That's timeless.
That's not bad. That's not terrible at all.
You even got the Wasatch Mountains in
got
there.
Got the Come mountain. On. You got the mammoth. It's perfect.
Oh, I didn't. Let me take a little deeper dive.
Take a look.
That.
The top of his head is a mountain range.
See, I like it. Like going back to the Nashville. I'm like, okay, I like that.
This is what I like, and I know it's heresy to say it in an original six town, but I like that Utah and Carolina, to my knowledge, are the only two teams in the league who have a logo at home and a road logo.
Words on
the road.
See, I'm not exactly a fan of the horizontal diagonal.
Okay, letters. I didn't notice
the mountains. He doesn't have a lumpy head. Those are mountains.
I didn't notice the mountains.
Yeah, mountains on the top, yeah.
Okay.
I really like that, Kenny. One.
Nothing. I was expecting Kenny to make a joke about Utah, so.
I got nothing. Kenny, I got nothing here.
Soak that logo in.
There we go.
The joke that just won't die. I thought it was over after football season when we were talking about
Utah hockey. Soaked with enthusiasm.
Soak it in.
It's a great logo. It's all I'm telling you.
It's a very good logo.
So all four logos are pretty cool. I like this.
I dig it. All right, let's move on. So listen.
Kenny, if I rock some of this, you going to make fun of me?
No, I encourage it.
Okay.
The more the merrier. I'm not one of those exclusive hockey fans that doesn't want anybody from the outside coming in.
I want to ask people this. I want to just return to the Pistons thing briefly. Trajan Langdon seemingly preached patience in his press availability today. I want to ask you a question, and I think it's simple, but it really is puzzling to me because in this town, it feels like everybody just likes the status quo. Be good, retain our own people, patience, we'll move it on down the line. If I give you two pathways to pick, the Detroit Pistons can do nothing and let it marinate for one more year. We're going to see what Ivy looks like. We're going to see a summer of Ron Holland's development, a summer of Asur Thompson, no blood clots, development. I'd say we're going to see a summer of Durin's development, but I've just about given up with that. If you're in your third year headed to year four and you haven't shown me an ounce of offensive ability, I'm not saying he's Yinka Dare, but I'm a little concerned. The point is, you could let it marinate. Do nothing, and we'll wait for the big swing next year. Or choice B, you know in your heart what your core pieces are. Anything that isn't that, shoot the moon. And let's go bring someone here because there is a power shift in the Eastern Conference. The Bucks are not going to be there next year. I'll be in stunned disbelief if Giannis is there next year. The Celtics have to trade at least one of, if not both, Drew Holiday and KP. The Sixers are a complete disaster. The Heat are a disaster unless Giannis goes there. Right. The Knicks are the Knicks. I don't think they're going to be great. I don't think they'll be terrible.
No, you're right. What you don't want to be is basically the Midwest version of the Knicks.
Right. So my thing is the Pistons could very easily assume a top three spot this summer. If I ask you in listener land, you get those two choices. Marinate for one more year or let's get bold. What side of the aisle are you on? Because remember, when you talk about letting things marinate, Durin is eligible for an extension. Ivy is eligible for an extension. And before you say run it back, you don't have the money, unless you want to go into tax threshold, to bring back the Schroeders, the Hardaways, and the Beasleys of the world. Now, clearly, you and I are on the same page. We're walking hand in hand saying, let's make a move. Let's get this thing moving forward.
And I don't want to sway the jury, but here's why you want to make a bold move. Because there will be a power shift in the East. I do agree. I look at Indiana, and as you're watching, what they just did, we were joking about it, but Indiana looks like they may be headed to the Eastern Conference Final if they keep this thing going. Cleveland, they're injured right now, but they're one of the better teams. I look at Orlando. I think they're starting to put things together. You could be that fourth team or competing with Orlando. Here's what you don't want to happen by standing pat. That player that you want ends up going to Cleveland, Indiana, or Orlando, and now that puts you so far they're ahead of you, and now you're playing catch-up in another year when you could have been on equal footing. So, yes, you stand pat and you run it back, and now all of a sudden, let's just say Zion ends up signing with one of these three teams. He goes to Orlando and makes them a better team. You could have had him. Or some other player that in a trade goes to one of these three teams, and now you're even further behind. And now you're just, you're an okay playoff team, but you really have no shot at ever winning the East.
No, because I look at that trade proposal the Bleacher Report had about Zion, and it's even better than the one I put out. Mine was more, I wanted to make it hurt so people get put to a choice, but Bleacher Report today, they had Zion going to the Pistons, Tobias Harris, who makes 25 mil, Bobby Klintman, the kid you drafted, you know, from Sweden, Jaden Ivey, and a one and a two. Do it all day. Risk it, biscuit. Because ultimately, you're not going to be able to keep Ivey and Durin and Holland and Assur and all your role players. This is my point. You're not, and you wouldn't want to keep all those because then you end up in the luxury tax and nowhere near good enough to win a championship. All I'm asking for is the middle ground. You don't do something stupid and go all in. You don't. It's not the right time for that. That's why I think those conversations about Giannis are goofy. A, Giannis's people are not going to let him play into, hey, Giannis, here's your career arc. Milwaukee to Detroit. No, his next stop is going to be L.A., Miami, Houston, or New York. I mean, that's just, his people are not going to let it happen.
Right.
I would love to have him, but that's just not happening. So I look at, let's do the middle ground. Like, give it a shot. But I wonder where people are at with it. Because it's clear, the Pistons, if they're a stock, you're buying. I think there's two teams in the Eastern Conference, I'm buying their stock. One is you, and I'm buying Orlando Magic stock. Before you laugh, I know, you can't win with a balding point guard. Jalen Suggs, get it together. But you have... Their big three played a grand total of 90 minutes together this season. Wagner's legit. Banchero is a problem. And Suggs is good enough. I'm buying stock in the Pistons and the Magic. And I would do the same show in both markets. You got to make a move. And you can move this thing forward and not put a stranglehold on the East. But you get a really good seat at the head table. So I just wondered where people were at with that. And if you want the audio, I mean, do you have that clip of, because we can do it at 5 o'clock, David. Because Trajan said something that it feels like every GM in this town, they're handed a 3x5 and they have to say this phrase. Well, we want to be consistently good. And did it. Who in their life ever says, instead of I want championships, What kid grows up going, God, I want to be consistently good? Why does every GM in this town say that? Just say, why does no one in this town want to say championship?
I got an answer for that.
To hell with it. Tell me next. I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we're just rolling. I want to hear why.
Okay.
Because for me, anything that doesn't bring me a championship, why the hell am I doing it? We'll get to Rico next. He's got an idea. Gabagool. Just give me one more James and we're done for the day. Okay. 75 and sunny, and yet I walked into Rico and Evan and David all being in a bad mood. All bummed out about Trajan Langdon. We're going to talk about it. We're also going to test their level of religious knowledge later with a papal conclave blitz. It's going to be exciting. Kenny's going to be dressed as a cardinal. We're really going to get into it. And I do have a hypothetical for you at 3 o'clock, and it is about college football. And I'll explain it, and I'm basically going to roll a hand grenade into the bedroom and shut the door behind me, and whatever happens, happens. But we want to start with this. You and Evan and David are all like-minded. You're all bummed out. Trajan Langdon spoke, and while the audio is terrible, we can't play it. It's, guys, it would be a waste of your time as a listener. But I'll outline some of the things that are in here, but I want you to really kind of take the lead on this because you're convinced of something, and maybe I don't want to be convinced, so I'm, you know, denying reality. But basically he said the following. If you're going to bring an all-star in, it's going to come through trade, not free agency. TBD on Ivy and Dern extensions. No idea who the second leading scorer would be next year. He thinks that's a good thing. Didn't mention Ivy at first. Kind of made you guys question Ivy's role. But it's led you to the following. You believe Trajan's plan, or at least from what he said today, is WBBT.
Yep.
Bring the band back together.
Yep, Mike. Just like every NBA player, when any call happens, does this. Review it. We're going to run this back. They're going to run back this team. He came out there and he was just talking. He didn't say specifically that he was, but it was the things that I was hearing what he wasn't saying. And it was, you know what? For this offseason, Ausar Thompson won't have blood clots. So he'll actually get to work out with the team. And Ron Holland, he's going to come back with the team and practice this summer. And whether it's going to be in some of those summer league games or what, but he's going to be working with the team. Cade Cunningham now knows what it feels like to train, and because he's experienced the playoffs, he knows what it takes to win. So now he's not going to be out there training to perform well in game number 45, but he's trying to go to the second round and beyond. He just talked as if a person, he just kept naming off all the key pieces to the team and how over the summer it's going to get better, which led me to thinking, he's just going to keep this thing together. And I think he's open to a trade if a trade is there, but I don't think that he's going to be demanding a trade. If somebody calls and offers him a deal and he says, okay, you know, if the Pelicans say, hey, Zion, we want to try to move him, what can we do? I think he would join in that conversation. But I think that call comes from New Orleans. I don't think that call comes from Detroit. I think he's happy with what he has here. And he thinks that if we just get another summer together with the same players, we could get better results. He complimented the fans during the playoffs, and I think he's going to try to bring that team back. And by bringing that team back, I also think, you know, because he talked about, yeah, I brought in some free agents, and things kind of changed while they were here, which I felt like he started to fall in love with those guys. So, David, I could be wrong, but to me, sounded like, as you like to call it, was it WBBT? So I think that's going to happen. I think the Detroit Pistons will keep it together, and they're going to run this thing back next year.
So they're every team in this town.
You're going to see minor changes, maybe a couple of fringe players like they did.
Yeah, no one cares. So that's
wow.
Rico, no one cares. Like, you could sign a zillion Fontecchios. See yourself out. So basically, we're WBBT City. Lions, refused to make the big move. Wings refused to make the big move. Tigers tried.
I was about to say,
didn't
Detroit
execute
try,
it. Tigers
and
tried.
And they were willing to even overpay.
And the Pistons, according to you, Evan and David, are convinced, hey, Ron Holland will get a full summer to work out, a sore, no blood clots. We're just going to keep the band together. David, do you agree with Rico? Explain that.
I don't agree.
You read something different into it?
Here's what I read into it. It's too early to know. That's what I read into it. We just finished the playoffs. I absolutely understand he had to speak. Yes, the season's over. Every GM should speak when the season is over. But I just didn't take anything from it. It's just too early to know anything on decision-wise. If they're going to trade for someone, if they're going to keep the young guys, I just don't think I learned anything today.
You know what? The only one I did not know about was Jaden Ivey. And Jaden Ivey, he said by his own admission, he was like, yeah, you know what? I left him out, and, you know, I left out a few other people. But he talked about all the other players. But Ivey was omitted. Ivy's the only one I don't know, David, because I don't know if Ivy's going to be a key part of this team or Ivy's going to be the chess move, the piece that they're going to try to bring in somebody else. He's the only one. He's like, hey, J.I.'s down working out right now. But other than that, what I gathered, they're going to run this back. And they think that they have something here. And I wouldn't expect no free agent move. If there's going to be a big move, it's going to come through a trade. He's like, hey, I don't know who the second scorer is going to be next year. And yeah, it's a good thing. Like, okay, wait a minute. What? Don't you want to know who? I mean, we all keep saying you need somebody to help out Cade, and you want to get somebody who you definitely know, yes, this person plus Cade equals a winning team, not, hey, man, it's going to be fun to figure out who's going to be the second leading scorer next year on this team.
Is there a question in here, or is this just like we're just going to keep it rolling? God, I want to know why this is this way. That's what I want. Why is this town this way? WBBT. Why? Why? That's what I'm more interested in. I'm not interested in going through the pablum of GM quotes. Why are we this way? Answer it. Someone. I don't care if you're on the road. I don't care if you're sitting in studio or behind the glass. I don't care if you're up on a roof. Why? Why will no team in this town take the swing?
Because you don't want the risk. You don't want to take the big risk, because if you take that risk,
oh, but
and
why?
It fails.
Oh, this is the hardest town in America, isn't it?
It's not. It's not, because this town, they value something rather than everything. And if you have something, I don't want to give up something in risk that I can get it all. I'd rather just be safe with the something.
No, you put your ass in the jackpot is what you do if you make the big move, because if it doesn't work out, then you look like an idiot. You don't want to do that. You don't want to put your job at risk. You don't want to put your reputation at risk based on making a big swing. I disagree with that line of thinking, because I think that's not how champions are made. Champions are made by doing those types of
things. Okay, but Kenny, here's the thing. Here's what you haven't... There hasn't been a champion here in a long time. So...
Because we behave like that. That's why there hasn't been a champion in Ohio.
Because this town, once you you rather have something than be irrelevant. Because every team that we've talked about at some point has been a joke. And once you start winning, you don't want to go back to that. So I'd rather play it safe and at least be relevant.
Can you name?
I'm not agreeing with this, Mike, before you say anything. Let me just cut you off right now because you're a little spicy. No, I'm not agreeing with that. But you wanted to know why this town is that way.
Well, then that's pathetic, and you never deserve to win a championship. I hope none of you win a thing then, because I can't name a single person who's been uber successful in business who had that mindset. Not one. I think it's absurd. All of this is absurd. If they want to, well, we're going to let it marinate. Why?
In business and in life, you have to take that swing.
Right.
No matter what you do in life, you have to make a big swing and bet on yourself.
Look at all of it. The Wings are in desperate need of a big swing. Now, I'd argue the Pistons, there's a power shift in the East. You and I have been talking about it all year. The East is in a complete transitionary period. Why not put your stamp on it? Make the Detroit Pistons the team of the next 5 years.
Yeah, right now there's three teams in the East. I think Cleveland, Orlando, and Indiana.
The Tigers' shot will come at the deadline. Because truthfully, they have to be a buyer. If this is who they are, you have to be the team to go out and make that type of move.
And the funny thing is, the irony to all of this is when the Wings were willing to go out there and do big things, they won cups. When the Pistons went out there and took a chance on Rasheed Wallace, it helped them get over the top to win a title. So, yes, that's how it's done, but I don't – it's they're scared. There's really no other way to put it. If I make this move and this move fails
– well, look at the Lions, too.
It's gonna. I'm going to be attached to this. So I'd rather be relevant than be great.
I don't think they're scared. I think this town doesn't demand it. So when they don't demand it, there's no reason for the GM to strain themselves and go after big moves because the fan base isn't going to say anything to them. They're just going to sit there and be like, oh, great. Lions won 15 games. Pistons made the playoffs. Tigers made the playoffs.
But David, it's only so much the fans can do. I mean, the only time I really saw the fans have an effect is when the Lions went 0-16 and they just said, enough of this. You got to get rid of this clown.
Yeah, but it's cultural. Like, I agree with you in the actuality. You're right, Rico. They don't get to walk into the office and press a big red button, the trade button. But what David is speaking of is there's a reason Philadelphia is Philadelphia or Boston or Chicago or New York. Those towns are a certain way. So you're right. Fans don't have the actuality. But one thing's been proven. These teams do listen. I'm not going to get into specifics of how that's true. You just need to trust me. These teams listen. So the idea of fans voicing displeasure, you're right. But what does this town do? They fall in love with gym class heroes. Think about it.
No.
They fall in love with their own. And then anytime we try to bring up a trade, that dude's not good enough. What do you mean?
I like to call it the Brandon Inge factor.
Exactly. I mean, we were talking about trade candidates for the Pistons, and everyone, that guy's not good. That guy's, fine. I'm going to get you Larry Bird in his prime. Is that what you want? Let me get you Larry Bird 1984. That's what I'm going to deliver to you. So I want to ask you guys the question, because I think all four teams are in the same spot. Different points of rebuild or their arc. Would anyone have said it was a bad idea for the Lions to make a big move this offseason? No. They chose not to. We'll see if they're right. The Tigers, they tried, didn't execute it. Wings, please. I mean, we're all dying for the Wings to do something, and they need to. There needs to be a jump start. For the Pistons, I think there's a lot of oxygen available in the Eastern Conference if they want to reach out and grab it. Reach out, breathe it in. But you got to make a move. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think a summer of Assur is going to turn him into a 38% three-point shooter.
No.
So I want to hear from you guys. Because my fascination is with Trajan's comments, as Rico eloquently pointed out, it doesn't sound like. Now, again, is he going to pull his pants down at the podium and show you the world map? No, he's probably not. He's got to leave some fog right. of war. But I'm asking you guys, why are we this way in this town where seemingly these teams are reticent at best to make a bold move? 248-539-9797. We're going to get into the Pistons a little bit. Tiger talk, we just wrapped. We talked about Sharon Moore earlier, Odyssey.com Rewind. So the conversation is this. All right, season's done. Dust is settled. This is going to be a big season because I think there's a major decision to be made this summer. I know I'm going to be up against it. I've already heard the other shows. Everybody just doing what we do best in this town, falling in love with their own players, WBBT, just bringing the band back. But it's not that simple. If you look at the Pistons and you look at the roster, and I ask you what you want to do, it comes with a bit of a problem. And the problem is that keeping the band together takes you over the cap. And you're nowhere close to winning a championship. Nowhere. No planet is this team ready to win a title. And I don't know what level of player development you think would need to happen. But this crew is currently constituted. It's a wonderful turnaround, but I want to caution you about something. And whether you like him, hate him, or don't even know who he is, I watched a Bobby Marks podcast. Now, he was a capologist, worked for ESPN for a long time, worked for the Brooklyn Nets. And I thought he brought up a great comp. Back in 2021, when the Atlanta Hawks, who were primarily booty, made a huge run to the Eastern Conference Finals, and Trae Young, you know, peacocked all over the place in Madison Square Garden. And what did Atlanta decide? We have our group, stay the course, nothing bold needed. Fool's gold. Now, I'm not being disrespectful when I tell you, I think some of this Pistons thing is fool's gold if you believe it leads to a championship. Nothing about the foundation established is fool. No, The toughness, the going to work attitude, the development of Cade, these are real things. Here's the point. When you look at this, Enrico, for instance, Tim Hardaway, you're bringing him back. Dennis Schroeder, you're bringing him back. Malik Beasley, are you bringing him back? Paul Reed, who a lot of people want to touch their beanbag over, you want to bring him back. Then you get into the extension eligible people, such as Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren. That's before we start to talk about how do we get better. Here's my question. You have an approach you want to take, and it's the complete opposite of where I'm at. That doesn't make it right, wrong, or otherwise. It's just you and I are really different. I want to know from the people, now that you've had a weekend to think, do you want continuity? Let it simmer, go sign another D-list gym class hero, and we can all worship them? Or you want to make a splash and let's expedite this thing? Celtics can't stay together. The Cavs aren't real.
Way to undersell my way to go.
Hey, on. Man, your sales pitch is yours. I'm over here selling a different brand of lemonade.
The D-list guy.
I mean, that's the truth, though.
No, Mike, it's not... I would like for them to get a splash, but I don't think they're going to go the route of the splash. What I think they're going to do is exactly what they did throughout the year when they brought in a couple of pieces and let Bickerstaff really develop them and get them better. He's taken this team on, and players that I didn't think that were that good have gotten better. So rather than make that big splash and go out and get that person, that Booker, that Zion, whoever it is, that fans want, and you got to make that trade. In order to make the trade, you got to have something that people want.
I got plenty of things to trade.
What do you got to trade?
I could trade Ivy, Holland, Assur. I could trade Duren. I could trade anybody.
Or you could go into just free agents and bring in some pieces.
Ooh, Oscar to Grouch. This free agency class blows.
You could bring in Naz Reid.
Ooh, that'll do it. Put him on the season tickets.
You can try to get Miles Turner away from the Pacers.
To do what? I got Duren.
I think you have a better score.
No doubt. My point is you can't have duplicity. Like, okay, you have $15 million of beef stew and Duren's eligible. So you can't bring in Miles Turner. Here's my counter to what you're saying. Do you want $41 million of Tobias Harris and beef stew? That's a max player, Rico. Get him out.
Beef stew, no. Tobias Harris, look, he proved his worth on this team.
Fool's gold.
Bickerstaff has shown me that, you know what? I took some guys and I developed them. I got them better. And this team, the way I see this, I don't think they're going to do the big splash. I'm not preparing myself for this. I see they're going to try to go the free agency route and bring pieces in here.
They can make whatever mistakes they like. I don't care. I'm asking what you want them to do. Do you agree with the strategy or not?
I do not. No,
okay,
I don't.
So you actually want to do what I want to do.
Right.
But you're trying to be like a shepherd to the people.
This is, yes.
Moses in the valley.
I'm trying to tell you. Fool's gold is what Mike is saying. I don't think you're going to get that splash. I don't think you're going to get that player. And then you're going to be disappointed. What I'm saying is, I feel like they're going to go the free agent route. They're going to try to bring in a couple pieces and say, hey, look what we did with Schroeder. Look what we did with Tobias. Look what we did with Malik Beasley. And we turned them into good NBA players, and they were part of a team.
Look, Schroeder's gone. There's no scenario you're bringing him back if Ivy's back. So Schroeder's out. Tim Hardaway made $16 million last year. And you want to re-sign him?
No, he's not coming back.
All right, but Malik Beasley, what do you want to do there? Everybody's so amped up. What do you want to do?
I think they're despite his playoff performance, I think they're going to try to bring Beasley back. Now, gross. The Ivy thing is something that we really don't know what we have. And people will say, well, you know, him and Kay can't play together. I haven't seen enough of them actually playing together to know that they can't play together. Because when one is healthy, the other is not.
Guys, what do you want the Pistons to do? Because here's the thing. The problem is, if you're measuring success based on, well, as Kenny puts it, we're not actually terrible anymore, then we're measuring something different. Because here's the measuring stick. Oklahoma City, Boston, Cleveland, Minnesota. These are the teams you have to measure up against. And in the Eastern Conference, I think you're seeing a power change. The Celtics have to make a move this summer. I've said it for months. They can't stay in the second tax apron. Cleveland, I don't think, is real. So I'm just disregarding them. Right. Indiana's Indiana. Milwaukee, it's a matter of time before Giannis is either with the Rockets or the Heat. You have the ability to make a move and immediately be a top three team in the East.
See, the problem is I don't want to see the move that all of a sudden guts the team and you become the Eastern version of the Suns, where you got your two players, but it cost you everything.
I'm not asking for two players. I'm asking for one.
No, I'm saying where you have, when they brought in KD and they sold their soul to get him.
You know
there.
What else you had? You had the owner walk in acting like he knew what the hell he was doing, so go over the top of his GM and negotiate these deals privately. That ain't happening.
Okay.
Here. Bradley Beal.
What a loser.
I just don't want you to see, or you become the Lakers where it's just LeBron and Luka and a bunch of other guys that wear purple and gold.
Look, bottom line, I want to make a move. It involves a trade. It involves $25 million in Tobias going bye-bye or $15 million in beef stew. It does involve picking a path. You can have one of Ausar or Ron Holland, but not both. You do now officially, after this draft, you own all your future firsts. You got 15 second-round picks in the near term. Do something with it. Because this group, as fun as this was, you're not winning a championship. So this is either about winning titles or it's not. And, we have to be patient. Guys, all I'm telling you is the opportunity is there that the East is going to look a lot different next year. So why not paint it red, white, and blue? It doesn't mean I'm with Rico in this regard. Let me say it for the people in the back. I agree with Rico. You don't do something insane. You don't give up five first-round picks, plus, 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 plus. I'm asking for one adult who can help close a playoff series.
Because I was talking with Rieger over the weekend, and he was like, well, what if I said you can get Kevin Durant, but it'll cost you two first-round picks, Tobias Harris, and I think—
How many times do I have to tell you, you cannot have a balding superstar? It's science. You can't do it. You can't. Can't.
Lakers have one.
Oh, really? And they're out of the playoffs.
He doesn't know he's balding, but he's balding.
KD, out. Trae Young, out. Cannot do it. Tom Thibodeau is coach? Nope.
Where do you get these rules?
The rules. They're science. None of these people have won anything. Okay. Can't do it.
Okay, Ron Burgundy.
You can't. It's like in the NHL. Science. You can't have a guy who looks like Gallifrey with a pork chop comb over. Can't be your best player. David, your thoughts?
Yeah, here's what I'll say.
Can't do it.
You're right about the East. The East is prime for the picking. Cleveland don't win this year. I don't know what they look like next year. We already know what Boston's going to happen to them. Knicks going to lose to Boston. They're going to look totally different next year. Right now, it's the time to make a move. Orlando is right there with you in the East.
They're one move away.
And they're going to try to make that move this year. You cannot sit back and let them make the move and you do nothing.
Their big three played a grand total of 92 minutes together this year. The injuries were insane for Orlando.
And that's what I wonder, is Ivy a part of the collection that we're all clamoring for? Maybe he's already here.
What's that got to do with me getting Zion,
well,
brother?
I'll tell you what it does, because what happens is people do what Lions fans do.
There it is.
Well, we were injured. If we had Stewart and Ivy, maybe. So let's just keep it together.
Kenny,
I don't
want to
do that.
That's exactly what people do.
I don't want to do that.
Here, what if you're starting five? Fine. You want Ivy? Keep Ivy. Ivy, Cade, Malik, Zion, Durin. Let's roll. Like, you've got to try something. And look, if you acquired a Devin Booker, not saying I'm selling my soul to do it, it doesn't mean Ivy can't be here. Like, look, it's okay to have a sixth man of the year.
No, my thing is, you can't give away the house in order to bring this one guy in.
And so if I said right now, here's what I would offer for Zion Williamson. And again, Trajan Langdon knows better than any of us. If he makes a move, you trust Trajan, right?
You're let him cook.
Oh, you're letting him cook. He was in New Orleans. If he stays away, you're not going to hear me yell about it. He knows the player.
Okay. Here's Zion Etouffee.
We're going to get him on a little bit of a program. The point I'm making is, here's the offer. Nobody answer, no facial expressions. I want you to marinate on this. The offer would be Tobias Harris, because you got to get rid of that money. Mm-hmm. Their choice of Holland or Ausar, two first-round picks. Zion for 3 years.
I was going to say, how many years? So
3 years are left on his deal.
Their choice of Ausar
or Ron, not both.
and 2 first-round picks.
Would you do it? Think it over. And you could say no, but I'm not going to offer something that's an easy yes. Do I think you could get him for less? Yes, but I want to make this difficult. That's how it has to be. Think it over. 248-539-9797. We get to you, the people, next.